Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere else you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends to subscribe, and check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls, and if you want to advertise with us or have questions you want us to answer on the show, make sure you email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 Score. Cody, this was one of the more eventful days recently in the NBA.
Chris Paul relocated from Los Angeles, where he was the staple and centerpiece of the Clippers organization, to Houston, where he will team up with James Harden on the Rockets to form a super team to make a run at the Warriors. What are we terming him right now?
I guess just because it's like one star going to play with another star, is that just sort of the definition of a super team?
Slightly different from Derrick Rose's definition, but nonetheless, right, the official definition, I believe.
I think they're closer to being a super team than last year's Knicks were.
The Rockets...
Although both of those franchises have been coached by Mike D'Antoni. We're going to get to the Knicks in a little bit because they did some stuff too.
Yeah, the Rockets, though, acquired 19,224 non-guaranteed contracts. All numbers approximate.
They covered pretty much... They acquired pretty much half the players in the league that are on non-guaranteed contracts.
Everyone except Rajon Rondo and Isaiah Cannon, who play and reside for the Bulls.
That's right. I was asking around seeing if Cannon was involved in any of these talks because, you know, he has a $1.5 million salary. He's only guaranteed $200,000. You'd think that would kind of make sense to throw in. I didn't really get any sense that that was part of the talks at all, but...
Patrick Beverley went to the Clips, a future first-round pick that'll probably be late first-round next year.
What, hey, it's top three protected, though.
What were all the other pieces? I don't even, couldn't even read that much off the top of my head.
So, like, the ones that the Clippers are actually going to keep are Patrick Beverley, Lou Williams, and then Montrezl Harrell,
Sam Decker,
Kyle Wilcher.
Goodness gracious!
First round pick that's top three protected, just in case Houston completely tanks, despite having Chris Paul and James Harden next year. Just in case that happens, they'd still keep their pick.
Doc Rivers lost the negotiation of top three protection on a pick with Daryl Morey over a deal in which the Rockets are championship or bust, basically, next year. And still, Doc couldn't get a fully unprotected first-round pick next year.
Well, the pick that the Pelicans gave to the Kings for DeMarcus Cousins was also top three protected. It ended up being number 10, but like they couldn't get an unprotected pick for Cousins.
That's fair. Doc Rivers has had some moments that make the Bulls look like absolute geniuses, though, as a front office and an organization.
How do you think this compares to the return that the Bulls got for Jimmy?
It's two separate, okay? We're comparing not even apples and oranges here. Like, we're comparing apples and green beans or something. Like, this isn't even close because Chris Paul was going to walk away from the organization in 7 days, probably. You know what I mean? Or in the next 4 days. So, Jimmy having 2 years left on his contract is just not worth comparing. Like, yeah, I like the players the Bulls got for Jimmy Butler more because they have much higher ceilings than that deal. Certainly with LaVine and Markkanen in that trade, but it doesn't make sense to me to compare them whatsoever because the Clips were in desperation mode and just trying to get anything, salvaging anything out of Chris Paul that they could, the Clippers could have called his bluff, but it seemed pretty clear that he'd made it known that he was going to go to Houston. And look, if Houston didn't trade with the Clippers and give up some of these assets, like, you know, Decker and Beverley and everything, they were going to have to move them and create that salary cap space anyway. So what the Rockets did here was operate above the salary cap and retain their mid-level exception and stuff, where they could have just cleared the space and let him walk into cap space in free agency if they wanted to. So the Clippers were in a really tough position with zero leverage, really, it seemed like, unless they call a bluff. And the Bulls were still in a position where they had more leverage moving forward.
Can we talk about what a genius Chris Paul is for engineering this whole thing? Because he negotiated the over... Because there was a rule in the old CBA that you couldn't sign a full five-year max deal if you were going to turn 36 during that deal, because they didn't want to hamstring teams with contract with like giant contracts for guys who are way past their prime. Chris Paul, who is the president of the Players Association, got the deal. He's 32 right now. He'll be 33 next off season when he's actually a free agent. He got the
fifth year.
He got the rule negotiated up in the CBA. Oh, yeah. To the over 38 rule instead of the over 36 rule. So if he signs a five-year max next offseason, he'll still be able to get the full five-year max, which is going to be worth over $200 million. And because he got traded to Houston instead of going there as a free agent, they have his full bird rights, which means they can sign him for that five-year extension.
And he opted into the final year of that contract, so if everything goes south next season in Houston and he doesn't like playing with James Harden, doesn't like the future of the organization, or wants to team up with LeBron James, he'll be an unrestricted free agent next July 1st and can make his decision in that regard. So he gave himself all the options in the world, should still be able to sign that $200 million plus contract next offseason with the Rockets, or go somewhere else for probably $150 or $60 million, something like that, to team up with LeBron, Carmelo, and Dwayne Wade, maybe? Because at this moment in time, they are all currently on track, if they want, to be unrestricted free agents on July 1st, 2018. Haven't even started 2017 free agency, and we're already amped for that one.
So is the Banana Boat Squad going to go to Houston? And is James Harden the fifth member of the Banana Boat Squad? You know how people always talk about, like, who was the fifth Beatle? Is James Harden the fifth Banana Boat Squad member?
I think it needs to be more organic. Like, I feel like you have to go on one vacation with him at least before you can be actually welcomed among the Banana Boat crew.
Well, he's at least squad adjacent. He's a Banana Boat squad adjacent.
That's
he's not
true.
Actually in the crew.
And he's been playing USA basketball with those guys for a really long time too. So like they are complete boys too with James Harden. This wasn't a contrived two superstar things. He's been around Chris Paul a lot.
And apparently they were both like Chris Paul was telling them he really wanted to go play with Harden. Harden was apparently pushing him hard to come play with him. Yeah. Like, how do you think this is gonna work on the court?
I think it's going to be fun. And it won't be as seamless of a Rockets offense as last year because it was so run-and-gun based and so just based on perimeter spacing and Harden having the ball in his hands and playing quickly and carving up defenses. Chris Paul doesn't play nearly as fast as Harden does and didn't get out in transition. I mean, I'm not saying he's not a great passer and get out in transition, but he's a more methodical basketball player. Like Jimmy, in some ways, you know, he likes to dribble the basketball and poke around at the defense and use his smarts and make the right play. So that will be interesting. But look, you're not knocking off the Warriors unless you have supreme talent. You're not even making a run at them unless you have just high-level superstars and more than one of them. And now you have two of them still. Like, I still believe in Chris Paul very much as a basketball player, even if he is entering age 33 season. You know what I mean? He's still a top 10 player in the league, and he's still an excellent defender, too.
Now, they're talking also about still trying to make a run at Paul George. I'm not sure what they'd have to trade. Like, I think Clint Capella is the only guy that they have. It's like a young player that Houston, that Indiana might be interested in. But even still, I mean, I admire the way that Daryl Morey was able to get creative and get all these non-guaranteed contracts and find a way to make this happen while preserving, you know, his flexibility going forward. And, you know, you have to give respect to Les Alexander, the owner of the Rockets, for being willing to spend the money.
I like that the Rockets are making a run at it. We have an era in which some teams want to kind of take a back seat because
the
Warriors and Cavaliers are so dominant here. Cavaliers in the East, Warriors just lording over everyone here in the years going forward in the NBA. I like that the Rockets are like making a charge. I still think the Spurs want to do that. I also, if the Celtics get Paul, if they execute their plan of signing Gordon Hayward and then trading for Paul George, it's going to be really lit in the NBA next year, because that's what I want to see. I want to see teams still making a charge. I understand planning for the future is very smart, you know what I mean, when you're not going to beat the Warriors. And I do think the Bulls and Rockets were in different positions in that regard. The Rockets, It was brought to our attention on Twitter that after Fred Hoiberg's rookie coaching season, 15-16, the Bulls and Rockets were basically coming off similar 500-ish seasons and had a superstar player, Jimmy Butler, for the Bulls. He's a star. James Harden's a superstar, but a guy to build around. And the Rockets have pivoted and are all of a sudden maybe the third, fourth best team here in the NBA, probably, obviously. Third best team, maybe second best team behind the Warriors. And the Bulls are rebuilding. Another situation, if you want to compare the returns a little bit, it's obviously fruit and vegetables there. But the Bulls didn't have quite as good of young players, I don't think, as the Rockets. Like, Patrick Beverley was a really good compliment for James Harden. Clint Capella was a perfect fit for that system. The Bulls did not have any fits for any system at any point in time.
And then they also screwed up. Complicated by signing Rondo and Wade.
They also screwed up by not making more overtures toward doing that and more effort for it. But the Rockets were at least had more bare bones of a structure to build around. So that was the Bulls' problem and fault for not doing it sooner and then not realizing it in the moment, too. And like you pointed out, Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo did not help that goal at all. As it pertains to the Bulls, and we'll get to the Knicks news in a second, no news yet here on this, what day of the week is it? Wednesday? A couple days before NBA free agency. I guess technically starts at 11:01 p.m. Friday night.
Central time.
Yep, in the Central time zone. Shout out to the Central time zone. Love it.
Absolutely. It's the best time zone.
Yep, the best time zone. That's what happens in the off season. You pimp the time zone. But no news on Rajon Rondo decision for the Bulls, which is due by late Friday night, whether they'll bring him back on the $13.4 million guaranteed or the $3 million guaranteed. That is guaranteed either way. 13.4 guaranteed when Saturday morning rolls around. Casey Johnson of the Tribune did report that it's expected that they'll waive him, or they're leaning that way, it kind of seemed like, in his reporting most recently. Again, it's hard to get a read. I don't know that the Bulls are certain here, because even if they waive him, they're interested in bringing him back at a lower price for him to be a mentor. So we'll keep an eye on that for you. The other big news, obviously, in the NBA, Phil Jackson out in New York.
Yeah, and I love that this happened after James Dolan picked up his option for his last 2 years. So he could have just, if he had done this, you know, up 2 months ago, he could have just let him walk and not owed him $24 million over the next 2 years.
It's so puzzling to me, because I thought that rich people get in that position because they're both ruthless and smart, but that's just really dumb.
Yeah, James Dolan. I mean, we've kind of seen this from James Dolan over the years. They've mismanaged pretty much everything that they've done. And Phil's tenure in New York has just been a complete disaster on every single level. He gave Joakim Noah that huge contract. He traded for Derrick Rose, and that was a disaster. He alienated Kristaps Porzingis already, who's their 21-year-old future star. He alienated Carmelo Anthony.
Every single day.
Every single day, and tried to push him out of town. And after giving Carmelo Anthony a no-trade clause in that contract to re-sign him, which is the reason they haven't been able to trade him in the first place.
I gotta be honest, I kind of like Phil Jackson in my basketball life anyway, where he's like on the Montana ranch, like tweeting random things, or you hear people saying they caught up with him for this story or that story and just lording over the possibility of like maybe coaching again, which I do not think he can ever do again in the NBA because of his persistent health problems and his back issues. You know what I mean? Like, that's way too much of a grind. So, I mean, Phil Jackson might be out of our basketball lives, like, for good, unless consultant. Do you see a consulting role for him with the team, maybe?
Who's going to touch him after the way that this handled with it? He has no... I know he's Phil Jackson. I know he's won a ton of championships as a coach, but has anything that he's done in the last 3 or 4 years with the Knicks made you think, oh, this is a guy that I think we need to have making basketball decisions for our team or helping to consult in basketball
The
decisions?
Answer to that is a resounding no.
He's so just going to say, every single time, he's just going to say, oh, well, you guys just need to get guys that fit in the triangle.
Yeah, that was a lot. A lot of stubbornness.
I wonder if they're going to keep Hornacek and give him a chance to actually run his own offense that isn't the triangle, or if they're going to, you know, fire him and bring in someone else. I don't know.
I don't know either. That's an interesting read. I think that'll probably just be left up to the next GM they bring in.
We're not really seeing a lot of coach. There were zero coaching changes during the season, and there haven't really been a lot.
Well, that's in part because there had been so many the previous 2 years and so much turnover that at some point it had to dip. But yeah, this NBA season was the first one in a really, really long time that they went through without a coaching change, or like first one in like in the modern era.
Well, I think like 1971 was the last one on record.
Yeah, so that's certainly something crazy. Did want to point out that, like we said, free agency starts on Friday night, 11:01 p.m. The Bulls, if they bring Rondo back and bring Joffrey LeVern back, that would be 14 players if they let one of them go.
This is also assuming they keep Nico and Chris.
Yeah. Again, all indications are they want to keep Nico and Chris, no doubt about that. And again, I would expect them, even if the price is a little more than what they wanted to keep them, it would have to get really outrageous for them to probably let those guys go. And you mentioned, I mean, we're talking $10 to $15 million per year for Chris Felicio, like low-end, high-end, maybe?
And then 15 to 20 for Nico.
15 to 20. I mean, that might seem like a normal range. I would agree with that
assessment.
But
they both have, and like I said yesterday, they have the same agent, and they've both been working out at the Bulls facility, so I think they're going to get deals done with those guys pretty quickly.
Yeah, just the more signs you point at, like, it adds up to the Bulls keeping them. But the Bulls, either way, whether Rondo's back or not, LeVern, whatever, they'll have an open roster spot here for free agency, maybe two or three. They need a wing still, okay? Like, Zach LaVine, we threw out January 1st as a reasonable timetable for him to return. He did say he's ahead of schedule, so maybe before that. Dwayne Wade, on the flip side, we don't expect him to be playing much at the end of the season for the Bulls.
No.
So both of those guys take up wing spots. Wade's looking at a situation in which, when LaVine comes back, he needs those starting shooting guard minutes. And it's a really bad backcourt idea, I think, to start D-Wade and LaVine, because your defense would just be abysmal. So Wade could, at some point, get shifted into the six-man role, if not early in the season, later in the season, which might hit more at his buyout coming down the line later. Your boy, Paul Zipser, of course, is proved himself pretty well last year at small forward for the Bulls. But, again, maybe best served as a backup forward at this point, backup small forward. We got Denzel Valentine out there who's going to need some wing minutes. Other guys, Jaren Grant's a guy who can play point guard but also can play off the ball on the wing. But the point remains, like, the Bulls need another wing. Free agency starts. You thinking they're going to sign one?
I mean, that's really where because they have enough bigs already, and they have still like 5 point guards on the roster, so I would think wings are where they're going to go. And most of the top-end guys are going to be too expensive for them. You know, the like J.J. Redick's that are on the market. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, I think, is going to be too expensive as a restricted guy.
Yeah, so I got a question. Should they make a run at a guy like Otto Porter, restricted free agent? Do you throw down huge money to him? Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, do you throw down huge money at him being restricted? Tim Hardaway Jr., another restricted free agent, do you throw up big money at him and make an offer sheet, or do you just ignore them all?
I like Porter the most out of any of those guys, but I also think that Washington's the most likely to match anything that they get for him.
Yeah, I think they'll just almost give him
a max just right away.
Yeah, if it's not a max, and is that going to be like 4 and 120-ish?
Well, for Washington to give him 5, they could give him 5 years, like 150 or 1.
That's a lot of money to give Otto Porter.
I agree.
I think they'll give him quite a bit of money at a big value, and he'll be very interested in staying there because I do think he really found his role last year. But these guys, like Andre Roberson, it doesn't make sense to go after him. Yeah. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, like, you like him, but Pistons are probably going to bring it back, right?
Pistons are probably going to bring him back. Tim Hardaway Jr. I'm not a huge fan of, but they could probably get him for cheaper than some of those guys.
Yeah, so
One guy that jumped out on this list, because you have like the hoops hype list pulled up for free agents, I kind of like the idea. I mean, especially if they let Rondo go, and they don't know how long Wade is going to be here this year. They want to bring more veterans in. You want a guy who is cheap and isn't going to demand to start, but can still play a little bit.
Yeah.
Vince Carter.
Vince Carter?
Yeah. You can probably get him for the mid-level at this point.
And then he and Zach LaVine can have dunk contests.
Vince Carter can still get up a little bit. He can still throw down some of those old man dunks.
What is Vince's reputation in league circles when it comes to being a mentor?
people like him. I mean, people really liked him in Memphis. People really liked him in Dallas before that. He's kind of reinvented himself because if you remember earlier on in his career, like when he was in Toronto, he was seen as kind of difficult and selfish and all this stuff. And then he got to New Jersey and it was sort of the same thing. And then, you know, later on in his career, you know, he ended up going to Orlando and then he was in Phoenix for a little bit. The Bulls almost signed him in 2011 when they signed Rip Hamilton instead.
Ooh, I forget that.
And then
more fun facts,
this was the lockout. This was the lockout off season, like when everybody was signing in like December, like 2 weeks before the actual season started. They were looking at him. He ended up going to Dallas, and then they signed Rip Hamilton. But like,
what about? Or go ahead.
But you know, I think you know Vince Carter's a guy. Like, I just think he checks all the boxes. He's not that expensive. I don't think he's like a full-time starter anymore, but if you're signing a veteran and you're the Bulls, you don't need them to be a full-time starter, but he is still not a completely useless player. He can still go in and play, you know, 10 to 15 minutes a night and be able to hit a shot.
What about another guy, not quite that old, but certainly more of a veteran, Tony Allen, noted tenacious defender and terrible outside shooter.
I mean, that's another guy. You know, he's a guy, I mean, you talk about, you know, you want to build a good culture, that culture in Memphis, that grit and grind culture. He wasn't the best player on those teams. That would be Marc Gasol.
But culture.
He was, I mean, if you think about the two guys that are like the most synonymous with the grit and grind culture in Memphis, it's Zach Randolph and Tony Allen. Those guys are both free agents. Zebo doesn't really make a lot of sense. They have a ton of bigs. But, you know, Tony Allen, he's also from Chicago.
Yeah, so it's interesting that if the Bulls bring Rondo back, there's not really a need to bring in a veteran wing,
right?
Probably, right? Like, you got your veteran leader you're going to go with. If they let him go, and even if they try to re-sign him in free agency, and then it doesn't work out because he wants to play a lot more elsewhere and not cede the spotlight as far as point guard minutes go, then you probably do need to bring in a veteran because it's very possible that come February, you won't have the veteran known as Dwayne Wade. And I also feel like Dwayne Wade is not going to, let's just say, I think Dwayne Wade's going to buy into his celebrity life a lot more than buying into bringing the young players along in this player development goal for the Bulls. Rajon Rondo, again, went to D-League games last year, dealt with terrible traffic on the Kennedy to get there. I don't see Dwayne Wade doing that. I mean, Dwayne Wade probably
Rondo's
has
on record.
Access to a helicopter.
Rondo's on record saying he wants to be a coach someday.
Yes. Yeah, so, it'll be interesting. So, what you do with Rondo can affect whether you bring in a veteran wing player or a younger wing player. Looking at that. Justin Holliday. Former Bull Justin Holliday.
Bulls legend.
I think that ship has probably sailed.
I mean, he wouldn't be a bad guy. He had a solid year with the Knicks.
Ben McLemore.
I mean, you could get him cheap. You could get him for the minimum, probably.
He was thrown in Bulls-Kings rumors for years, wasn't he?
He was, and by the way, with him, he would have been a restricted free agent, but today we just learned that he's not going to get a qualifying offer, so he's going to be unrestricted. So they could probably get him pretty cheap as a reclamation project.
He's so bad that they didn't even give him a qualifying offer?
Just like Michael Carter-Williams.
Oh my God, there's more Michael Carter-Williams situations elsewhere in the NBA?
That was a really weird, because that was the draft where Anthony Bennett went first overall. That was a weird draft.
That was an awful draft.
The two best players in that draft were Giannis, who was the 15th pick, and Rudy Gobert, who was the 27th pick.
Nice. They're really good.
Actually, I mean, there were a couple of guys. Steven Adams is pretty good. He was like the 12th pick. But that was a really rough draft class.
So our goal here is to throw out as many names as possible. So when the Bulls sign a guy that no one saw coming, we can say, hey, remember at like the 27, 24 minute mark on our podcast a couple days before, we mentioned him and laughed or whatever.
We're just going to name every player that's a free agent and just say that there's a possibility of free agent. We're gonna be like some of those reporters that just throw, let's say the word sources say that this team is talking to this and just throw everybody out there so that they're always right.
Rodney Stuckey?
Nah.
I don't feel like he fits the Bulls' current situation. Here's a guy. Actually, keep an eye on Ian Clark.
Yeah, I like him.
6'3" shooting guard, been playing for the Warriors, and by playing, I mean mostly sitting on the bench.
He's actually good, though.
Young, athletic. Warriors identify talent well, so you know that there's something there. They could be facing a cap crunch to the extent that he could probably be going. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he's any sort of priority for him now at all, and they have to keep KD in mind because he's supposed to sign his contract later after free agency's over, but every couple million dollars you throw at someone else is probably less money for KD, you know what I mean?
Right, well, KD has already said that he's willing to take less than max so that they can stay, you know, can keep Andre Iguodala's bird rights. So obviously, like, they're, and you know, they're going to give Steph the max. They want to keep Iguodala. I think keeping Andre Iguodala is a little more important for the Warriors than keeping Ian Clark. So I think some team is going to be able to get him away, but he's going to get a lot of offers just because when you played for the Warriors, teams both think you're really good because you were on this one, you know, one of the greatest teams of all time, and they also want to overpay you, so it'll be harder for the Warriors to keep you because they want to make them weaker. So they're going to have competition if they want to get him, but yeah, I mean, if they can afford him, that's a guy I wouldn't mind going after.
Yeah, certainly, because he would fit the age range, you know what I mean, coming off that rookie deal and stuff. So Jason Terry, Anthony Morrow, now we're getting in the territory where...
Could bring Morrow back.
If he's been on the Bulls already... and couldn't crack the lineup last year. Like,
I like talking to Anthony Morrow. Like, I wouldn't mind if they brought him back.
Give him number one. Let him wear number one.
Well, they didn't give anyone number one yesterday, so they maybe they'll just number one is still.
I was joking the other day. My goal in life is just to cover the Bulls long enough to see someone else wear number one in their organization. I don't know if that's in 2 weeks or 14 years from now, but that's my goal.
So we still don't know what number Robin changed to, because Zach LaVine took number 8 from him. We still don't know.
Just tweet at him.
He could have changed it. I tried to slide in his DMs earlier. He never responded.
Oh, man. You just blew yourself up there on that one. No respect, no response. He's probably walking his dog Muppet, you know?
Maybe he's at his... Did you see his brother's press conference with the Lakers today?
I saw that Larry Nance thing where Larry introduced himself to Brooke. And Brooke said, there's no need for you to introduce me because you already dunked over me, basically.
And then the other part is he said in the press conference that he told the Lakers when they first traded for him that they got the better twin.
Nice. So, that's good. Good shade.
I hope Robin sticks around on this team. I'm going to miss him if he leaves or if he gets traded.
Yeah, he'll probably get traded. So, I mean, say your goodbyes or get ready for it. You know what I mean? Jason Terry, there's another veteran. The Jet. Wouldn't that be fun?
Would be. He's a cool guy to talk to, too.
Nick Young, I don't see that being the mentoring
influence
for the Bulls.
I don't think he really fits the culture.
Guys like Thabo Sefolosha is probably too good for the Bulls.
Another Bulls legend.
Yeah, probably too good for him. Tyreke Evans, I don't think makes any sense. Jonathan Simmons, restricted free agent in San Antonio, who I felt like they liked. I feel like, are we missing anyone here? Like, Otto Porter again. These guys are too good for the Bulls. They need to lose. PJ Tucker would make sense if they were still competing next year. Another former Bulls legend, James Johnson. That shit probably
sailed
too.
He's going to want to get paid too.
Bogdanovich. No. Joe Ingles. Love Joe Ingles.
He's going to be too expensive though.
Probably too expensive. Probably matters too much to the Jazz as well. So these are guys. Shabazz Muhammad.
Not a fan.
Nah. Sean vetoing that. CJ Miles makes no sense, I don't think. Jeff Green, everywhere he goes, he makes teams worse.
Don't. Even though that's the Bulls' goal, that is, signing Jeff Green is never the move.
Michael Beasley?
No. He was actually pretty good in Milwaukee, but no.
Omri Caspi?
Sure.
Dante Cunningham, there you go. Dante Cunningham's my guy. That's my guy for a tank job. He has zero discernible offensive talent from everything I've read, gathered, and watched previously, which I will admit is fairly limited in watching Pelicans basketball in my past.
I've watched a good amount of Dante Cunningham because he used to be on the Blazers at the beginning of his
career.
But
I think he's a good guy. People like him, right? Just not good at offense, but he'll try hard. There you go. Play him some minutes and just self-destruct, you know? The problem right now, is the Bulls, they might still be a little too good at offense, you know, if they have Nico and Rondo and the picture. And
so I think Tony Allen might be the move then.
Yeah, there you go. We're on the Tony Allen bandwagon. Gerald Green, the savior for the Celtics in the playoffs, turned it all around with his surprise start in Game 3 at the
power
United
forward.
Center. Yeah.
Former dunk contest champion. He can mentor Zach LaVine.
He's actually a wing player in real life. He doesn't usually go to power forward, but... that's one. Matt Barnes, I feel like he comes with too much baggage.
No.
I think we just read as many names as possible again, so we could throw that net far and wide.
Luke Babbitt. Chalupa God.
If they signed Luke Babbitt, yes or no, would they have a press conference to introduce him?
I mean, I would hope they would. He won the Blazers Franz Free Chalupas his rookie year by hitting a three-pointer to get them over 100 points.
These press conferences the Bulls are going to have to call the next few years for meaningless free agents they sign are going to be something special. Well, they need to make it an after shoot around scrum. Like, you know, your new guy came in and got some shots up in media. If you want to swing by and talk
That's
to
what
him.
They did with Rondo last year.
Exactly.
They didn't. They did a formal press conference with Wade, but they just kind of had people
come
over.
I think formal press conferences, we're going to see few and far of those between for the Bulls in the coming years when it comes to the free agent market, because I don't think you can call a press conference in Chicago for Luke Babbitt.
Are they going to... Here's the thing, like... They never even did a formal introduction of the guy that they got in the Rose trade. We never even talked to Robin Lopez or Jerian Grant until the... Jerian was at Summer League, so we talked to him then in Las Vegas. But
that's true.
Robin Lopez did not meet with reporters as a member of the Bulls until Media Day.
That's true, but that's probably the way he wanted it.
You know? Probably. I mean, I don't know if anybody would have been like really trying to go. I'm trying to imagine the other beat writers going like to get excited about like talking to Robin Lopez after that trade. But like, I think...
Let's just say I don't ever envision Robin Lopez... giving the Sun-Times a back-page sports cover, except for the one time he swung at Serge Ibaka. But I don't think anything Lopez ever says is going to give them a back-page cover. So.
I mean, if they sign Vince Carter or Tony Allen, they'll probably do like an informal availability just because those guys are names.
Yeah, I'm all about that. Like, okay, we just solved it. So if you let Rondo go, sign Tony Allen or Vince Carter, remember, there's no bad one-year deal, right?
They're not going to get paid enough money that the Bulls can't afford them.
If you bring Rondo back, go make a little run at Ian Clark, or maybe someone young and athletic like him, fair to say?
Yeah.
We just solved everything in Bulls free agency. KJ McDaniels, there's another name just in case.
People are really hoping the KJ McDaniels thing happens, and it's not happening.
Okay.
Hey, I mean, he's young and athletic.
Anything else you want to add to that? Why do people really want it to happen? I didn't realize.
People want this thing to happen. He's a guy that, like, every time... Because he had that one really good half season with the Sixers his rookie year. And this was the year when they were, like... I think this was the first process year.
Hey, if you can justify bringing Rondo back based on two playoff games, you can justify anything for a half of a season.
But so then he gets traded to... And I think... Here's what I remember about KJ McDaniels. He actually, like, pushed back against the whole process thing by signing... just the one-year non-guaranteed rookie contract for his second round, just like a one-year minimum deal. So then he gets traded to Houston halfway through his rookie season. And then he signs a deal with Houston, gets traded to Brooklyn. People think he's going to be good because he put up good numbers in Philly his first year. Wasn't actually good. Brooklyn didn't even make him a restricted free agent.
That's too bad.
So, I mean...
So sad. Brandon Rush. James Young!
I don't think James
Former
Young.
Former Celtics legend James Young.
I don't think James Young is an NBA caliber basketball player.
Ooh, you said it, not me. Ooh, Randy Foy, there's another veteran. Boom.
Randy Foy's still in the league, by the way.
Another veteran who can really help the tank job.
He's a guy that's loved in the locker room, too.
As far as I know, people like him. And now we're getting into names so far down the
list. Damian Rudej.
I don't really know who they are.
That's so. Zach Lowe's boy, Damian Rudej.
I feel like this is a sign that the podcast should be coming to an end here on Locked On Bulls. Again, like we said, a lot of eyes, I guess, on the Rajon Rondo situation now. And then what happens the first few days of free agency? That moratorium period got shortened this year,
yeah.
So we won't have to wait as long for everything to become official later, of course. No, we do not know our exact Locked On Bulls schedule in the coming days. Holidays coming up. 4-day weekends for some of us. Basketball stuff to follow. A little other work, but... We'll keep you updated on that front. You can follow Locked On Bulls on Twitter for those updates. Follow Sean at Hike and myself at Cody Westerlin for everything. We're also on Facebook on Locked On Bulls and LockedOnBulls@gmail.com for all your questions, which we will certainly be getting to here in the near future episodes. We'll answer many of your questions. Most of all, please do subscribe to the podcast, though.
That's right. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere else you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe. Leave us a 5-star review. Tell your friends to subscribe. Check out the other podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe to The Athletic to read my work. Check out 670thescore.com to read Cody's work. And we will be back with you guys soon. Thanks for listening.